are continuing our Strong Women series on KEXE KBXE, Conversations with Women in Leadership, with Women with Stories to Tell. Today we have in the studio with us Representative Sandy Lehman from Grand Rapids. Sandy, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Heidi. Very happy to be here.
So let's talk about right now you serve as the legislator, Republican legislator for, I don't remember your district number.
It's District 5B.
Okay, District 5B. But you have had a very interesting life in terms of your public service. And I'm curious about how you got to Grand Rapids.
Right. Well, Heidi, it's really interesting because my story is probably typical of many young people in their 20s, is you really don't know where life is going to take you, and you really take one step at a time. Well, I was in my 20s, young, married, and actually had just, we had our first child, our first son, Nathan. And my husband loves the outdoors, hunting, fishing, you know, all of that. And so we had some friends who owned some property in Grand Rapids, but we lived in, first home was built in Dayton, just north of the Twin Cities. His dream, unbeknownst to me at the time, was to live in a community like Grand Rapids where he could go out his door and enjoy all the things that he enjoyed. As it turned out, at that time, this was the late 70s, things were booming here in the Grand Rapids area, and the word was traveling down to the Twin Cities that there were jobs here. Minnesota Power was expanding, and Boswell Number 4. It was right at the time the Blandin Paper Company was selling, and the foundation was growing, and lots of good vibes coming out of Grand Rapids. But I was a Twin Cities gal. I had, you know, born and raised there and really had no thoughts of moving north. But I will have to say that if I owe my husband anything, it's a debt of gratitude for his decision that he really wanted to move north. So we did. We packed up our little 10-week-old boy, and I was 26 years old at the time. And it was hard to find housing, some of the same themes that we see today. Because it was a boom time for Grand Rapids, hard to find housing. But we found a little cabin on Pekegama. I will say we have lived on Pekegama ever since. We just fell in love with the area. It's one of my themes that I think about as people make their choices, and I see people that are happy with their choices and maybe people that aren't so happy. I think people that have chosen place first are some of the happiest people I know. Because you are in a place that you belong and that you can belong and you can participate in the growth of that community, you're in a happy place. And that's what I've found in Grand Rapids.
So what did you, so you have a 10-month-old, you move here.
10-week.
10-week-old, oh my gosh. What were you thinking in terms of your career? Did even then, were you thinking of politics? Yeah. Were you interested in politics?
Not at all. Not at all. I really took some twists and turns, and it was very interesting because the time we moved, I was actually a college student. I had gone to work right after high school, had not gone the college path. In fact, I had two sisters. One got her college degree. We were the first generation to go to college in our family. But I went to work, and so later in life, after I was married, I started school. And right in the middle of that, we moved to Grand Rapids. Well, of course, there was no four-year university here. But I needed to finish up a two-year degree. And so my first call was to Itasca Community College and looking for childcare. And they had childcare, but not for little ones in diapers, not for children as young as my little 10-week-old. And so I set that aside, but I was interested in elementary education. That's what my degree was going to be in. I did get a job through something called Tri-County Co-op. They no longer exist, but they were here at the time. And I was hired to work with two learning disabled young boys and to help them mainstream into a kindergarten class. And that was a new concept at the time. And so I worked with one little boy who was autistic and another one who was just developmentally slow. And I loved working with those two boys. It was nothing but rewarding. But what I did find out is I was not cut out to work with children. I learned to really appreciate, especially grade school teachers. And at the time, the kindergarten teacher I was working with had two classes, each with 36 students apiece. And if you can imagine working with 60 plus kindergartners. So that was really helpful to me. It helped me understand that the path I was on was not the right path. And I really wanted to work with adults. From there, I was really fortunate. I went to work for the Itasca County Board of Realtors. And it was my first opportunity to work with a board in an organizational setting. And it was a one-person office, just me. And I thought I was in heaven. I would, in the Twin Cities, I would drive a couple miles to a bus stop, and I would get on the bus and ride for 45 minutes in good weather. And to get in my car and 10 minutes later be at my office in Grand Rapids was wonderful. I stayed there for about 4 years, and working with the board, helping them develop a marketing plan and just growing that organization and learning what it was to work with nonprofits and boards of directors. And that became my career, really. From there, there was an opening at the Chamber of Commerce. When we moved to Grand Rapids, the Chamber of Commerce was located in a little log cabin on the corner of Central School called the Welcome House. And then the railroad depot was purchased and renovated, and the Chamber of Commerce and the Visitor and Convention Bureau and actually Itasca Development Corporation all moved into that building. And I used to drive by the Chamber and think, you know, this is such a great community. This would be the ideal place to work. Can you imagine a job where every day you go to work to promote your community? So lo and behold, there was an opening to work for the director at the Chamber of Commerce. And I applied and I got the job. It was my first full-time job. I had been working part-time with his young children. I was an assistant to the director for 3 years when he left. And the board of directors had enough confidence and faith in me that they named me the interim director at that time. Didn't have a college degree yet. Hadn't gone back to school. But I took every opportunity I could to learn. Went to something called Institution for Organizational Management, which brought me to the University of Colorado at Boulder. And my last 4 years, believe it or not, at Stanford University, which was awesome. And so I was learning how to run organizations. And I was learning about the business side of things and learning about the small business community. And as I look back, it was really a time of opportunity. But particularly in the business community at that time, the kind of the old guard was leaving, people who had been in leadership for decades, and the younger business owners were taking the leadership roles. So here at that time, now I was in my 30s, early 30s. And so these young business leaders had confidence in me. Ernie Jacobson of Reed Drug and Craig Bender of Bender Shoes and Len Samala of Samala Jewelers. These people are now deceased or retiring. Mm-hmm. These were the young business owners at the time. And so it really gave me my perspective on public policy at the time, is I could see the importance of small businesses to the growth and health of a community. And I could see how the investment of these young leaders was key. It made the difference between communities that were growing and healthy and maybe communities that weren't.
That's Sandy Lehman. You're listening to Strong Women on KAXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Sandy went on to tell me about her time as interim director at the Chamber of Commerce in Grand Rapids and how she approached it.
And I really worked at kind of correcting some things that I saw that were obvious. A couple of things were that the Chamber of Commerce had always been in debt. We were always paying interest on loans because we would only make it through part of the year. And then we'd go down to the bank and take out a loan and so on. And I wanted to correct that. So we started looking at new ways to raise revenue. And before long, we were not only raising revenue, we had a hefty reserve and we were earning interest instead of paying interest. I wanted the Chamber of Commerce to be more involved broadly in promoting economic development and business growth. And the Chamber had been primarily more of a tourism organization. We really worked hard at developing a government affairs committee. We partnered with the school district and the college. I always had the college president or the school superintendent on my board in committees. So we were working with young people, understanding that we needed to keep these young people here or at least entice them to come back if we wanted to have a healthy workforce. So I kind of drove the chamber in kind of a broader vision of what it could be. People liked that, and we saw results from that. And keeping the tourism as well. You know, every year I would load up the car with a group of volunteers and staff, and we would drive to every single resort in the county and visit the resorts to let them know that we were promoting them and we wanted to know what their story was and what their resort was all about. So fun times. And yeah. I did that for about 12 years, actually. I was at the Chamber of Commerce and still to this day, my favorite job because I really got to know the community.
Sandy Lehman became president of Itasca Development Corporation, and more public policy was coming into her view. And when the Minnesota legislature changed the makeup of the IRRB, Sandy applied and was appointed to the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board. Sandy cited to me how the Blandin Leadership Program, because it was half women and half men, really made a big difference in small communities.
The Chamber of Commerce had been around for 100 years when I arrived on the scene, and I was the first woman ever to serve as the chamber director. And when I went to the Iron Range Resources as a commissioner, I was the first woman in 75 years to ever serve as a commissioner. I didn't lead with that. You know, that's not something that I promoted or talked about, but it just was a fact and a sign of the times. But I will say that I guess I'm an example of a person who really has no family in the Grand Rapids area, but relied on others for support. And it was not easy. I mean, we had to piecemeal support systems together at times. But I do have two sons, and they both live outside the area, one in St. Paul and one on the West Coast right now. And they each have sons of their own, so now I'm a grandmother, which I love, a whole other part. But then my husband, who actually, you know, was the deciding factor in moving us here, he now has a disability. In his 50s, developed Parkinson's disease. And related to that, he has cognitive challenges. And so he has not been working now for 11 years, and I've been his caregiver. And of course, it starts out as not too difficult, but it progresses because Parkinson's is a progressive neurological disease. I guess I would just advise everybody is to look for your resources, and if they're not there, create them. And so when my husband developed Parkinson's, I looked for resources, and there was a small Parkinson's group that was meeting, and I joined, and together with a woman who had Parkinson's, she and I took over the group. And so for 2 years, I facilitated the Parkinson's group and kind of grew that group and brought in programming and so on, partnered with the hospital here. And then when my partner, who has Parkinson's, got to the point where she could not play that leadership role, it became too much for me to lead on my own. I worked with Elder Circle here in Grand Rapids and said, you know, Christy Kane was just leaving at the time. She had a lot of challenges, just started the Active Learning Center here. But I said, this is a perfect fit, this Parkinson's support group for your organization. And she very willingly took over. And I guess I would just, you know, like to say, because I know there's many of your listeners are probably caregiving to loved ones. This is working for us. It wouldn't work for everybody. But I would just challenge you to live your life to the fullest. It's the best thing you can do for the person that you're caring for. And in our situation, I'm in the legislature right now. My husband goes with me to St. Paul. During the day, he's in an adult day center sometimes, and sometimes we have people that come into our apartment. But he's living an active life and living more of an active life than he would if I were just, you know, devoting myself full-time to caregiving. And I'm just enjoying life to the fullest because I'm able to take my experience now and again represent this great community in St. Paul. And I'm very humbled and very happy to be doing that.
Sandy Lehman on KAXE KBXE Strong Women Series. Hear more of them at our website, KAXE.org. This conversation made possible in part by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.